And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. And this is part two of a conversation with some teachers from Eastern Suffolk BOCES and talking about the use of some pretty high-tech technology in their classrooms to help communicate and educate with nonverbal students in a way that they've never done before. And we're joined by Stephanie, Jessica, and Selena, all employed by Eastern Suffolk BOCES in three different campuses. And if you listen to part one of the show, it was amazing to hear them describe the technology that's being used based on the eye movement of their students and their students able to communicate and to demonstrate what they know and don't know or what they are learning through the use of, I guess, a scan on the eye, right, Stephanie? It's like an infrared. Talk to me about the technology a little bit more to refresh our audience who might have caught part of week one. If they're like me, I forget half the things before I even get home. But it's a scan of the eye, and then it tracks something on the computer.
Yes, it's a infrared light that tracks the motor movements of the eyes on the screen of a computer.
So we covered all the benefits that you guys have been seeing, and we kind of hinted at the end of the last episode about some of the data that you're getting and the output from the software, right? Because educators love data, right? You know, data-driven instruction. So prior to this, I'm not sure how you were gathering your stuff, but this has got to be really beneficial for you.
Yes. Prior to this technology, it was provider-specific guesses, I guess you can say,
right.
So one provider might see one thing and another might see another.
Very subjective.
Yes, subjective. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. This gives us concrete data. We can see exactly on the screen where this child is looking. I cannot speak enough about this software. It provides us three outputs of data. It gives us heat maps of exactly on the screen where we were looking. It gives us line graphs and a video playback. So we really can see, can this child look at this specific point on the screen, or are they having difficulty shifting their gaze across midline to another side?
Connect for me why that matters to you with what you're trying to teach these students.
Well, if you present something to the child on the left and they're only seeing things on the right, they're never going to see what you're asking them to do. This gives us the ability to see what field of vision this child has in order to be able to access it and make an optimal learning environment for them.
And prior to that, again, you were making educated guesses, but it could be subjective based on your own lens of what you think you're observing. So the video playback has got to be pretty helpful too.
Yes, absolutely.
And Jessica, you know, in addition to some of that data, what are some of the other benefits for these students on a long-term basis, you think, by employing this technology?
Well, it allows them an independent way to explore their environment. That's a big part of language development. You know, a lot of children, they begin to talk when they begin to move around and be able to explore. And for these students who are in a wheelchair, this gives them a way to explore their environment independently. And it really fosters their language development, and it gives them a feeling of empowerment. You could see it on their faces when they're using the equipment. And I think it's making them feel like communication is fun, and it's something that they can
enjoy.
Where
it was probably a great source of frustration prior to this, right? Because, again, being so subjective, now to have something completely objective with where they're looking and what they're paying attention to. Does the data also show when the student may become disengaged, right? I mean, rigor in a classroom is always important no matter what type of classroom you're in. So does some of the output data show you that?
Yes. So when the student is in front of the MyGaze equipment, you're able to see the cursor move, and that lets you know where their eyes are. And then there's additional feedback of a red circle that will come up when the student's dwelling on one part of the screen for longer. So that will help us to piece together useful information, such as maybe we need to reposition the device a little bit over to one side or another so that they can engage with it more. Sometimes we need to lift it higher or lower, and it's on an adjustable mount. So it's very easy to do all of those things right there.
And what are the average age groups in your classrooms that you're dealing with and using this technology for?
I work in three different classrooms, and the ages go from 5 to 21.
Okay, so it's all levels, all stages.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately how long in your classroom instruction are you employing this technology with the students? Is it the full time, or is it like part of the time you're doing this, and then maybe some other things are happening in the classroom?
Usually what we'll do is I work with the classroom teacher and any other professionals that are in the room, in addition to the individual aides, to give all the students a chance to interact with the MyGis, but when they're not having their turn there, there are other ways that we can adjust the smart board so that it's accessible with a switch. We have other cause and effect items. We have voice output switches, things like that. We'll kind of pull it all together, even using a voice output switch for one child to say to another, it's your turn on the MyGis, as we, you know, kind of take one student, move them away from it, and put another student there. So really pulling all of their programming
they
together.
They probably really look forward to when it's their time for the MyGis.
They're excited. You can see there are a lot of times where I'll see a student looking over and I'll say, you're next, don't worry. And you can see the relief on their face, even that you have acknowledged that communication, that wow, they're letting you know that they're really interested in going next.
Selena, we were talking off the air that you guys had made a presentation to the Board of Trustees for Eastern Suffolk BOCES. Tell me about that presentation, because I'm a board member in one of your component districts. So I always love presentations. I always love big PowerPoints and graphs and everything. Tell us about the presentation and how the BOCES board members received this.
So we presented this information that we're talking about tonight to the board. We had a quick PowerPoint for them and really just went through what we've talked about, what the technology is, how it's affected the students, the teachers, the classroom staff. But the best part was we had students come and use the equipment for the board members to see. And that just spoke volumes. It was silence. There were some tears by the parents of the kids.
Sure.
The students just really knocked it out of the park and enjoyed doing it. And then after the student demonstration, we had the equipment set up for the board members to use it. And that was really eye-opening for a lot of them. So many of them said,
I like the punch you put out there. I'm just paying attention. Go ahead.
So many of them said, wow, this is really hard to do. And my response was, so now imagine being a child that has physical disabilities, can't really hold their head up, how hard it is for them. Wow. And those students make it look easy.
Wow.
And they're excited to do it. The feedback we got was phenomenal. And from the parents, from the students, they were all smiles. But the board members really embrace the technology. We're excited to see it. And we're so excited that it's being done throughout the agency.
I got to tell you, I know several of your board members, so you might see me in one of your classrooms in the near future, because I, you know, just listening to this and trying to visualize it, it's very exciting. Stephanie, where do you see this going years from now?
Well, I'm really excited with the path that it has already taken.
I know. It's amazing.
I would love to see this implemented through all of New York State and maybe go further than that to just understand that this is an access method that we can teach and that we can hone in on those skills so that a child who potentially we wouldn't see this ability could have a communication device and be able to communicate with us and introducing a world of communication to more and more children.
And have you gotten any feedback from the manufacturer of this company? I mean, I'm assuming they probably jumped at the opportunity to work with you guys because they probably see the potential as well. Have you gotten any feedback from them?
This company has been the easiest company to get in contact with. You can call them and they answer the phone immediately. And you're talking with the designer of it. And he had his name is Nigel. He had a lot to do with getting us the type of equipment that we have and making sure that we have a mount that's accessible, that can move up and down and side to side, and the children can be in different pieces of equipment and still access the computer.
So I would assume they are looking for the expanded opportunities as well, because it is a business model, but again, it's a business that's reaching and doing some great work.
It's very child-centered. They really asked a lot of questions about the type of population that we have and what our goal was. And they were able to put together a package of software that they felt would be most appropriate for our students, and it truly has been.
Inclusive Technology is the name of the company, right? And MyGis and Learning Curve is the software that works with MyGis, and they're doing some amazing work with students that are nonverbal, and just through the eye movement and a computer screen, they're able to communicate and show what they know and, of course, what they're learning as well. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation with these instructors from Eastern Suffolk BOCES about MyGis and how it's reaching students like never before. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to go. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your school's involved in, and your district may be the next one right here in our spotlight. So when we come back, My challenge to these educators is going to be, well, how are we going to spread the word? The great thing about the educational system, you get a good program, you get a good idea, people love to copy it, plagiarize it, use it all over the place. So we're going to talk about some ideas on how they could help spread the word to other districts and other students that are in need across New York State and across the country. You listen to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. We'll be right back. I'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. This is Bob Vecchio continuing our conversation with some amazing teachers from Eastern Suffolk BOCES who, you know, are telling us about some really cool technology to help their students learn in a way that, you know, 3 years ago probably wasn't even thought of. Stephanie, again, you were the one that kind of was pushed into this, but you're the one that's responsible for bringing it into Eastern Suffolk BOCES along with a colleague of yours. And we were kind of saying, well, where do you think this is going from a cost standpoint, right? Because I'm sitting here thinking as a parent, this is great to have in the classroom, but is it possible to have this in my home? From a cost standpoint, where is the price point on this type of technology?
I believe it's about $5,000 for one single unit, and that includes the computer, the huge software bundle, and the mount for the computer.
So do you could probably, I mean, I could foresee in the future, you know, this being adapted for parents to have mobile and possibly set up at home to help them communicate with their child, right?
Yes, the system that we have is really truly designed for classroom use. I'm sure there are units that could be designed to specifically meet the needs of the particular child to have in their home. We have a lot of space in the home. They might not have as much space.
Right.
So it could be something that's a little smaller or a little more accessible within the home.
And it could also help continue the education at home, just as traditional students will work with their parents with work at home. This, I could see a continuous benefit if they adapt it to that level. So when next time you speak to Nigel, tell him you got to get the home unit going too. And we'll help promote it for him. Tell him, I'll interview him. Tell him to come on in into the radio. So tell us, what else goes on in your classroom? Because I'm fascinating. You know, again, people think of education and they think of, you know, the typical 20-something kids in the classroom down the row. That's not your world. So take us through a typical day at the West Hampton Beach Learning Center in your classroom.
So similar to what Jessica was saying, we have the children each take a turn with the MyGaze system in the classroom during activities. I try to also incorporate it with the collaborative model of the classroom and do like a cooking activity with the occupational therapist. So the child can label the ingredients or request to have a turn with the iGaze system. So it really kind of brings that collaborative piece into it where they're getting a multi-sensory experience within the classroom, and that increases their awareness and ability to participate.
And Jessica, you know, she just touched on something, you know, labels for ingredients or whatever. What are some of the things, like, you know, thinking outside the box or looking down the road, you know, because I always worry about the kids when they're aging out of our public school systems at 21. I mean, their learning and their needs aren't going to stop just because they, you know, turn a number. What are some of the benefits that you see that could help these students long term beyond your classroom?
Well, having it in their classrooms all this time is just building their skills and fostering their communication so that when they do move on, we are able to tell maybe their dayhab or, you know, their family or wherever they're going to be spending a lot of their time about the skill set that they've cultivated so that they can continue to grow it.
And what's been the most meaningful impact that this technology has meant in your classroom that you've witnessed firsthand? What's like 10 years from now, everybody has that story, right?
Yeah.
What's your story?
There's so many stories, but a couple that just stand out. We have one student, she's 20 years old, and she will age out. She has one more year left of school, and this technology has demonstrated her ability to communicate, and she's being evaluated for her own device. So to see someone who has gone through their academic career, and this technology came in just in time to give her this opportunity before she moves on to the next phase of her life is just so important, and it's just really exciting to be a part of. And I think also just giving our students the opportunities to engage in activities as their same-aged peers. There are other games on the software package where the students can color or they can explore, you know, it looks like you're sitting at the dashboard of a car and they can honk the horn and flash the lights and things like that. And it's these are just things that kids their age want to do and they get to do it too.
Wow. Selena, same question for you. And we were talking off the air and you made me think of it, Jessica, with the coloring. There's like a program, too, for when they go to art, right?
Well, I had just been Googling and researching, and it's just a website, jacksonpollock.org, and it's abstract art. So they're looking at the screen, it splashes. If they stare at it for about a second, it changes the color, and then you can print it out.
And listen, Jackson Pollock, I mean, you don't get more local than that. The guy spent a lot of summers out in East Hampton, and there's a museum out there as well. So some of the meaningful impacts and some of the things that, you know, years from now when, you know, you look back on this moment, what are some of the things that are going to stand out for you? What are some of the stories that are going to stand out?
Well, I had one parent say to me, I always knew she was in there. Mm. And I have chills now saying it again to you. Yeah. And I said, she is. There she is. This equipment just really gives the kids their independence. And we can really see what they're going to do. Whereas prior to it, again, we were taking educated guesses or giving them that assistance. And they were getting frustrated because they're kids and they want to be kids and they want to express themselves. Sure. And now they have a way to do it.
It's like opening a whole new world. So how are we going to get the word out to other folks, Stephanie? Because you mentioned that to your knowledge, you're the only one that's using this at East and Suffolk BOCES. How do you think we need to go get the word out and spread the word? I mean, besides, you know, the power of this powerful radio show, which, you know, I know mom and dad listen every week, but beyond that, no, a lot of people listen. But what are some of the plans to help promote this?
So we have a wonderful public relations department at Eastern Suffolk BOCES. Yeah. There have been quite a few articles written about it and sent out to all of the boards, I believe, of our component districts. Yep. There also was an article that was sent to a newspaper that goes to all of the school districts in New York State. Obviously, we're hoping that a lot of people tune into your show to get this. We also have a Facebook page that our public relations department controls and sends out information that way. Basically, doing these presentations and being available to talk about a technology that we all love so much and have seen so much success with our students is really, I think, the way to do it. A lot of grassroots movements start with word of mouth. So we're really hoping that showing what our children can do and highlighting their skills will bring more people in to see, hey, these kids can do it. I bet our kids who are similar can do the same thing.
Well, to my fellow school board members that are members of the Eastern Suffolk BOCES School Board, and they know who they are, and I know they listen to this show, I think this would be an amazing presentation at the New York State School Board's annual convention every year. Might be too late for this year. But Catherine Romano and Fred Langstaff, if you're listening, I think you need to sit down with these folks and put down a presentation and have these folks submit it and present to other school boards, particularly other BOCES across New York State. And Selena, you are presenting the technology coming up pretty soon, correct?
Yes, I'll be presenting the Long Island Technology and Education Summit. The presentation will be about iGaze, but also other communication systems and how to integrate them into the curriculum.
Great. And what are some of the things that you could see long-term this morphing into as well? I didn't ask you that question yet.
Very much similar to what Jessica had said, we're seeing our students' abilities that we were not able to see before. And as a speech-language pathologist, I'm always thinking communication. And we're identifying students that can have their own communication systems, and that will open up so many more communicative opportunities for them that they're missing on a daily basis because they don't have systems at the moment.
Right. And Jessica, you know, parents that are in your classrooms and dealing with these students, they certainly have to become the best advocate for their child. And sometimes navigating the systems, the bureaucracies, gets a little difficult. What are some of the support systems that Eastern Suffolk BOCES helps parents with children with these abilities to help? Again, beyond Eastern Suffolk BOCES, but some of the things that they may not even be aware that they're entitled to. What are some of the things that you do to educate your parents?
Well, we always encourage the parents to be involved. We invite them to come in. I have parents that I was mentioning before. They're coming in and they're being trained on utilizing their student's device, just providing support and opportunities for them to use it with their child.
Great. And Stephanie, what are some of the things that you do to help build that partnership and foster that partnership between your student that you're working with and parents that are caring for them?
Exactly what Jessica said. We just kind of invite them into the classroom and make them part of our educational team because they are an integral part.
All right. If you want to learn more about this, visit the BOCES website. It's esboces.org, or just search out Eastern Suffolk BOCES and My Gaze, and some articles may pop up. But it's been great speaking with you all. And I am going to probably pull a little privilege here and speak to one of the board members about coming up to one of your classrooms, maybe to one in West Hampton, since I'm out that way, to see this technology firsthand, because it really does sound impressive. I want to thank Stephanie, Jessica, and Selena from Eastern Suffolk BOCES, the West Hampton Beach Learning Center, and Brookhaven Learning Center at Samoset. That's where they are all based out of. Thanks for sharing this amazing technology and this amazing information and your stories with us. And maybe we'll have you back with some of the parents. Maybe we'll interview a parent or two and see what it's meant to them. I think that's a great show idea, and I see my producer nodding, so I think we'll get the green light for that. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us every week, and we can't wait to see you again next week right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. One, two, three, baby, you let me go. Easy as one, two.